Hey guys, thanks for tuning in to another episode of the Dirty Giants podcast. We got an awesome episode coming for you guys. Aaron Gold, he just is consistently putting down giant bucks, just next level deer. And the one he got this year was probably his biggest buck. Just an awesome deer and an awesome story. So I can't wait for you guys to hear it. Before we start, though, I just want to thank our sponsor of the podcast, Rider Industries. They just put out the new Fat Boy 6 bipod, and they're available now. So that is RYDR Industries. You can go check out their website and order yourself one now. Anyways, let's go ahead and get started. I'm super excited to talk to Aaron, so thanks for getting on.
Absolutely. I'm super pumped to be a part of one of your podcasts. And dude, I love them. I listen to all of your guys' mule deer ones and have learned so much from them. So I'm excited to be here.
Oh, well, thanks for listening. I know when you I didn't know if it was like your thing or not, and so I really appreciate you getting on. When you agreed to get on, I was pumped, and then I went and scrolled through your feed, and you have even more bucks, big bucks than I even remembered. So I think there's a lot to learn from you on this episode.
I appreciate it, man. Thank you.
So maybe we'll just kind of like get right into it. Like, what kind of like started your drive or passion for big mule deer?
I would say probably the main source would, growing up, I had four brothers and an awesome dad that, every hunting season we'd be out chasing everything we can think of, deer, elk, ducks. So just growing up, I was always actively, involved in hunting and just loved every bit of it. That was my thing. And I think what really got me fired up for mule deer is I mean, I've always dreamed of killing a big mule deer, who hasn't? And had a lot of
Yeah.
close calls growing up, had a bunch of misses, all the frustrations that come with it. But on one of my pictures on Instagram, pretty far down, there's a smallish, maybe 150, 60s, 5 point I killed. I think that's the deer that really got the bug in me. And I was hunting one of the local mountains with a really good friend of mine, Lance Cole. We had rifle tags, and we went up, and I spotted this buck in the morning, shot and missed him. I was frustrated, and we got to lunchtime. We're sitting down eating lunch, and I turn around and notice that buck, 200 yards feeding behind us. So I got on the gun and was able to finally connect on him, and ever since then, I just have had the drive. I've always just wanted to chase mature big mule deer.
Yeah, I know. It's like you get that taste of it, and you put your hands on like a special buck, and it's just like you crave it. You crave that feeling again.
It absolutely. And it's like, you're not interested in just shooting deer anymore. It's, if I can't kill a big mature mule deer, I'd rather just, not fill my tag and wait, 'cause that's the drive right there, is killing a big one.
Right. And then, so I mean, you get that buck, and then where do you kind of go from there?
So after him, and I don't really know time frame wise, I'm just gonna guess. Couple of years later, let's say, me and my buddy that I've hunted with quite a bit, we've been buddies my whole life, is Cal Joyner. So him and me joined together, and we found the buck I killed a couple of years ago. Found the one with the cheaters on him. So we found this deer. We were wanting to go chase it, and it gets pretty wild for a minute. So we made a game plan. We were going to go in on the archery hunt. We had, we figured out the whole plan. And I want to say that we were going to wait till the muzzleloader hunt to chase him, but like a week before the muzzleloader hunt started, I get a call from the fishing game, and they tell me that I can receive this return back tag if I wanted to for one of the limit entry units for the muzzleloader hunt. So I was like, absolutely,
oh,
let's
no
do it.
Way.
So I took the tag. I've never stepped foot on the unit. Had no idea what I was getting myself into. And, you know, I was like a week before the hunt, so I'm scrambling, trying to get my gun, you know, call people, see if I can get any help. And anyways, it ended up just being me and my father-in-law and my brother-in-law for the first few days. We drive down there, had hunted for 4 days, had the time of our lives, looking, you know, at awesome deer. And I kind of had a goal in mind. I wanted to kill something, nothing like, I wasn't shooting for that 220 or that crazy next level deer. I just wanted to kill something unique with some inlines or cheaters, just something different than your typical 4-point buck, right?
Right.
So
right.
We hunted for 4 days straight, and this deer finally presented itself, 65 yards. You know, it was just perfect, and got in on the buck, shot and got him, and it was a wonderful hunt. So we got him, and we weren't able to go chase that other deer, so we waited till the next year with the plans of me and Cal going in to chase that deer.
The one you got, is that the cheater buck or the inline buck?
That's the inline buck with all the inlines on him.
Okay, so that was your – okay.
So that was the inline deer.
Main beat, yeah, okay.
Yep. Then the next year, me and Cal had, you know, we went back to our original plan. We wanted to go chase that cheater buck that we were spotting the year previous. So before the hunts and before the draws, we were planning on it. But I told my buddies, like, you got to put in for this unit. It was the coolest place I've ever been. Lots of big deer. It was awesome. So he puts in for the archery hunt. He ends up drawing the tag with not a lot of points, just got crazy lucky. So he drew it. So then all of our focus goes right back down there to that unit, and we had an awesome hunt, chased a lot of big deer, and he was able to, you know, get a great buck. So there's that. Then the next year we were planning on chasing that deer. We are 2 weeks before the archery hunt. I'm sitting at McDonald's with all my buddies on our lunch break for work, and we get a call from one of my buddies and says, hey, I just got a callback tag for that unit that you shot your deer in on the archery hunt. Do you want to help? I was like, you got to be kidding
serious?
Me. So I was
no
pumped.
Way.
I told him, absolutely, let's go. So we packed up the trucks. We went down, hunted for a couple weeks, had, you know, again, the time of our lives chasing big mule deer. And he ended up, you know, getting a really good buck on the archery hunt. So the next year, same game plan. We wanted to go in after this buck, and it finally worked out. We were able to get up there on the muzzleloader hunt. We get up there early in the morning, and Cal beat me to camp by a couple hours. I, you know, had to finish some stuff up at the house. So I finally get to camp late that night, and he's like, dude, I got some bad news. My scope broke off of my muzzleloader. And we're hours back in here, right? So going back home wasn't really an option. So, you
right.
know, it is what it is. I had my gun, you know, and we always do this thing where we're both chasing, you know, we have the bucks we're interested in, and whoever spots them in the morning or evening, you know, gets first crack at them. So opening morning of the muzzleloader hunt comes, and he finds the buck first. I crossed the canyon, so I was like, hey, take my gun, you know, you got it, go kill him. So he works his way all the way over to the other ridge, gets within 60 yards of the buck, and ends up missing the buck. He shoots and misses it, and the deer runs across the canyon straight at me, and the deer comes 60 yards or so below me, standing there looking at me. And I didn't know what to do. So I don't know, you know, people can give me a hard time for this. It is what it is, but it worked out. I ended up grabbing Cal's muzzleloader and pinching that scope on the rail to where I thought it lined up perfectly, pinched the scope down and aimed at this buck and shot and killed him.
No
Couldn't
way.
Believe it.
What?
So,
I've never heard that. That is crazy.
So I shot and hit him and dropped him, and he was right next to a cliff. So Cal hurrying got over to me, gave me my gun. I loaded it one more time and shot and finished him off, but he rolled off the cliff and fell to where we couldn't see him.
No.
And then right at that time, this nasty rainstorm blew in, and we're like, we got to get back to camp. Like, it was pretty bad, right? So we hurry and get back to camp. We fought this storm all night thinking we're going to get blown off the mountain. It was a pretty nasty, you know, windy, rainy storm. So I'm sitting in camp all night just in awe of what happened, and I'm hoping the deer's, you know, at the bottom of the cliff and he's okay, and, you know, just have a million things running through my head. So
right.
The next morning we wake up, first light, we get up to the cliff, and I look off the edge, and I'm like, holy cow, it, you know, there he is. It worked out perfectly.
No way.
So that pretty is wild
crazy.
Story.
That is it, wild. It
pretty, it's wild that it all played out that way, you know. So super grateful, and he's an awesome deer, and, you know, I'll definitely cherish him forever.
And then for the listeners, just so they can get, like, an idea, like, did you put a tape to him at all?
Yeah, so this deer, we put a tape on him, and he broke a couple cheaters, so we had to fix him. So, relatively, he's right there at 191.
Jeez. And what was that that first deer that you killed on your limited entry, huh? Did you tape him out?
Yeah, that one went 195.
Jeez. So, you're just on a roll.
I guess you could say that. I've just been super, super grateful and blessed to, you know, get those first two deer.
Jeez, that is so cool. I didn't know that. That's crazy. But, I mean, like you said, you had them at 60 yards. Like, that's pretty close. You could almost just point the barrel at them. So, like, that's kind of quick thinking.
I felt like I was frozen, like, oh my goodness, like, what do I do? I watched the deer run straight to me, and then it stops at 50, 60 yards below me, and it's like, oh my goodness. So I had to try something, you know?
Right. You might never get that chance again, so.
Right. So I'm super,
and it
super
pumped out.
That it worked out.
So
then,
if you're okay with it, can we go in? Oh, yeah, keep telling your story. Sorry.
No, you're good. That's that for that story. So if we can go into this, the deer from this year, if you want now. It's a pretty wild story,
like,
too.
A crazy story out of, like, a mega giant.
So this year was quite the year. Put in a lot of scouting, trying to find, you know, turn up. I knew of a lot of pretty good bucks. I knew about this deer for a couple of years, and there was another deer I was watching too. So I decided to chase this buck, and, you know, for 3-4 weeks before the hunt, I was in there trying to keep tabs on him, trying to get my camp ready, making sure all my ducks were in a row right. And so opening morning, comes, and I get up super early. I get up to my camp. There was quite a few trucks in the parking lot. So right then I was like, I don't even know if this is going to work out right. It was a pretty popular deer. It seemed like a lot of people knew about him, especially after last year's wintering range. It seemed like he caught a lot of people's attention. So, you know, I got pretty nervous going into that morning hunt with a lot of people. But I got into camp, and this is where it kind of started to go south for me. So I didn't eat that morning, breakfast or anything, and I woke up, felt pretty good, so I just started hiking, got all the way to my camp, and I unloaded the rest of my supplies in my tent and got, you know, kind of camp set up, and I had 5 water bottles and a pack of Starburst in my pack. I'm like, I'm just going to go 30 yards away from my camp and start spotting. You know, I didn't really think of any to have a bunch of food on me, right? So
right.
I go around, I start spotting, and right off the bat, I find him and another buck, you know, where I figured he'd be, you could say. And so I worked my way all the way down the ridge pretty quick to try to get in on him before he bedded up. And as soon as I got down to the deer, he bedded up into some really thick scrub oak. And so I sat there all day waiting. And
is there
when
anyone
I was down
else
there,
around?
I finally...
Like, is there anyone else around that has them bedded?
So when I got down there, I noticed there was another hunter across the ridge, on the same ridge the deer was on, maybe 200 yards above the deer. So I noticed the other hunters there, but I didn't notice anyone else. I'm like, okay, hopefully it's just me and him. I don't know if he knows the deer's there, you know what I mean? But it seemed like he kind of knew what was going on, but I wasn't for sure. So the deer's bedded, and now I realize, you know, I'm getting pretty dang hungry. I don't have any food with me. I got 5 waters and a pack of Starburst. And there's no clouds in the sky, so I'm just sitting in the sun just baking. And every time my stomach rumbles, you know, I eat a Starburst and take a sip of water just to try to hold me over a little bit, because, you know, I was a few hours to hike back to my camp. So going back to camp wasn't an option at this point. Like, I had to see this one through.
Yeah.
So I sit in the sun all day waiting, just trying to keep calm, you know, try to burn as little energy as I can and, you know, see how far these dang Starbursts could get me. And I waited all day, and in the, you know, towards the evening, I don't know, maybe 5:30-ish, the buck finally gets up out of his bed, and he's in such thick scrub oak, I could just see the tips of his horns, you know, coming in and out, giving me a little bit of view. Then he'd come out into an opening, but he'd be facing me, so I'd get some really good video of him. But he's 330 yards, so kind of far, especially with the new scope rule, right, where I have to use a red dot or open sight. So that was another battle I was trying to fight against. But I figured that's how far of a shot I would be taking. So I spent some time at the range, made sure I was, you know, solid at 300, 250, 400, whatever. So I made sure I was good with my gun, so I felt confident in the shot. So I got some awesome video of the deer, just waiting for him to present a shot. And I watched him, and he started to head towards a clearing. So I was like, okay, as soon as he hits that clearing, you know, it's game on. So he finally gets to the broadside, perfect shot. I get my gun set up, make sure my gun's level, everything, and I shoot. And from what it looks like, I drilled him perfectly. And he turned and just tumbled right into the scrub oak. But again, the scrub oak's like 10 feet tall, just thick as could be. So I watched him roll into the scrub oak and disappeared. So I'm watching very intently, making sure he doesn't come out anywhere, you know. So I'm watching super close, trying to reload my gun, and he never did come out. So I'm like, okay, there's a good chance I got him.
Geez.
So
yeah.
Now at this point, I'm freaking out because I've just watched the deer for, you know, a pretty good minute. So I know, you know, what caliber of deer it is. So I'm freaking out. I call my buddy Tyler Palmer. I'm like, dude, you got to calm me down. I'm freaking out. I think I just shot this giant deer. You got to just calm me down. You know, I'm just losing it. So it was awesome.
Yeah.
So he kept me busy, kept talking to me. And so I quickly got over to where he was standing last, and I marked it. And at this point, I am just completely gassed out. I've got no energy. You know, my legs are shot. I'm tired as could be. I'm not doing good, right? I'm not in the right state of mind just because I'm so hungry. And
right.
So anyways, I'm standing where the deer was at. All day just baking in the sun. So it is terrible. So I get to where the deer was last standing, and I can see where he fell for about 10 feet. Everything was kind of smashed. And then after that, it was so thick, it didn't really, you know, I couldn't tell. And I couldn't find blood, hair, tracks, just because it was so thick, too. So I dropped my backpack right where he was at, pinned it, started hiking in, trying to navigate it. You know, it's so thick, you're trying to roll on your side just to get somewhere. And before I know it, I'm above the deer. I'm above where he was standing last. So I'm like, what the heck? So I get back, I work my way down to where he was last standing. I go in, and now I'm like way off course again. So I go back to where you were standing. Now I'm getting frustrated. I work my way down in there. Before I know it, I'm back above where he was standing last. And I'm like, what is going on? And at this point, I realize I'm not in a good way. I can't focus. I'm shaking. My legs are shutting down. I gotta call someone. I was in pretty bad shape. So I called my buddy Tyrone Trace and said, you guys have got to come pick me up at this pin, at this dirt road, in 3 hours. Middle of the night. So they show up at like 1 a.m, pick me up. I get to the road. I start throwing up. I can't walk anymore. They got to help throw my bag in the truck. They drag me into the truck. Oh, my goodness, dude, I was so gassed out. And then not being able to find him, I'm fighting that mental game. And, it was a nightmare.
Sure.
So they get me home. They start, giving me Powerade and water and protein shakes and whatever, just trying to, get some stuff in me. And I get it, I get back to normal, and I go to the range. I shoot my gun. I'm like, okay, I'm perfect, 330, guns on. I shouldn't have missed. I know I hit that deer. I got to go back in there. So I get back in there, and I get in there, and I can see 3 bears in this area. And this is a couple days later, because I was bedridden for a little bit. I couldn't move my legs or walk or do anything.
Oh, I bet.
So
yeah.
I'm fighting this mental game for a day or two, and my, if I actually killed them or not. So it was kind of a nightmare. But anyways, I get back in there. And there's 3 bears in the same spot where I shot the deer. But the whole time, I videoed them for 2 days. And they would just kind of play and wrestle and, kind of break trees and eat them and just do their thing. So it didn't seem like it didn't seem like the deer was dead, because they weren't actively eating on it, right? So, and I didn't see any birds or nothing. So I'm like, okay, the deer is possibly still alive. I'm going to obviously stay in this area, but keep my eye out for birds and just look for this deer. So I looked, scoured the area for a few more days, couldn't find him, had to get back to work to just wrap up a job. So I go back to work for a day or two, and I was planning on just working a day or two and then going back up for the next week to just search for him. And so when my buddies were picking me up at night, there was that guy that was across the canyon, drove out of the canyon and seen my buddy's truck and recognized it. So I'm at work on Tuesday, and that kid is up there hunting this deer and sees a bunch of crows and magpies on a bush kind of where I shot, and they keep jumping on the ground, jumping back up. They're like, okay, it seems like something's dead right there. So he remembers my buddy's truck and calls him and says, hey, do you know of anyone that might have shot a deer in here? There's a bunch of crows. And he said, yes, my buddy Aaron shot a deer in there, and he couldn't find it. And he's like, okay, give me his number. So the kid calls me, tells me the story, sends me a pin of the birds. And according to my Onyx, that pin was 90 yards straight down from where I shot the deer. So I was like, Tyler, you got to take me back to my truck, dude. I got to get up there. I'm freaking out, So just another huge adrenaline rush for me. So I jump in my truck, grab my gear. Wife packs me a quick little lunch, and I burn in there and get all the way down to kind of where I shot. And I pull my binos up to where all the birds are standing on the bush, and I can see his frame sticking out of the dirt in the bushes.
No.
So I'm like, you've got to be kidding me. So I, again, just start freaking out. Adrenaline's pumping. I call my buddy Tyler. I'm like, I just found him. You gotta talk me through it. You know what I mean? Just having a good time. So I was able to – and real quick, when I hiked in there, I ran into another guy, and I just won't say names. I don't know if people want me to, tell them their names if they're in there hunting or not. So I ran into this kid. And I told him, hey, I shot a deer in here. I'm going to go down in there. Do you mind spotting for me? Because I've seen a bunch of bears and a lion in here. He said, absolutely. So he lent me one of his radios. So we talked the whole way in. And anyways, when I went in to pick up the deer, and the bears completely cleaned this deer apart. And as I you know, cut the face, as I cut the face off, there was still some meat on it, and I left him there. And as I started to pack out of there, the kid radioed me and said, "Hey, man, those three bears came right out, and they're starting to eat the rest of that deer and the meat you just cut off the face." So the bears were all over in there and just waited till I left, and they went in and finished the, you know, just the couple pieces off his face I cut off.
Jeez.
So
that is
pretty
so
wild,
crazy.
Dude, and super grateful and blessed, and I'm, you know, I could, again, I'm just super grateful I was able to find him and kind of close that story. So just an absolute wild hunt. I'll never forget.
That is one of the craziest stories I've ever heard. That's insane.
So it was a long 6 days of just being physically sick, mentally fighting the battles of, did I kill him? I know I shot him. What could have happened? You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah, for sure. I can't even, like, imagine, though, like, what went through your mind, like, especially when you saw his frame, like, in the dirt. You're like, oh, like, I can't even imagine that. That's insane.
Oh, I, like, fell to my knees, and I was like, you've got to be kidding me. I was just, honestly, like, most of the time I feel like if I shot a deer of that caliber and watched him drop, or I'd be screaming or something. I just, dude, I felt nothing but just peace. And I was super, you know, grateful that I finally was able to find this amazing deer. And it was a very calm, fun, exciting situation.
I bet. So, like, on that deer, like, did you get a tape on him too? Like, I'm super curious. He looked mega giant.
I'm going to have three people tape him and then just take the average, because on his G2s, he's got matching tripods and it's got a bunch of webbing. So I feel like with, you know, you could have 10 people tape him and they'll get a little bit different just based off the webbing. I don't know, maybe not.
Right.
I've had my first tape him at 215. And so I had my first buddy tape him out at 215. Then I had two more guys tape him out at 218 and 5.8.
Jeez. That's such a big deer.
Pretty crazy, especially for general season, and it honestly still feels like a dream having him.
Oh, I'm sure. One thing, like, I picked up on, too, like, with all your deer, like, it seems like you have a history with them. Like, the last two, you've had multiple years of knowledge on them. And it's not like you're just going in opening morning or, like, hoping to find something special. Like, you know what you're hunting, and you have multiple years of patterns off these deer.
Right. And my favorite thing, honestly, I loved hunting ducks. And, I mean, if you look at my Instagram, I love chasing ducks with my buddies and stuff. But, man, mule deer have a special place in my heart. And, you know, I'm not interested in going out and just killing – you know, a buck. I cherish chasing a very well-versed, mature mule deer. You know, that's kind of my drive. So I love searching. I love spotting for them and just hunting them. It's awesome.
Yeah. And then it seems like your hunting buddies play a big role in, I mean, obviously you're a killer and you know exactly what you're doing, but like I think having buddies that are legit, like Cal, who's obviously killed multiple big deer, and then your other buddies, like, that know what they're doing, I think that makes a huge difference.
Absolutely, because, man, at any given point I can call any of them up and just, you know, run a game plan or an idea through them, and they're always on point. They'll, you know, sit and talk it out, try to figure out the best plan, and try to go with it. So I've got some awesome buddies that are super helpful, and I'm grateful to have with me.
Yeah, for sure.
Especially when I have to call them in the middle of the night, and I'm like, you guys got to come save me. And they're like, all right, send me a pin. I'm on my way, you know.
Yeah, that's when you know you have good buddies.
I know.
So, like, obviously, you like, know what you're doing. You've killed multiple big deer. especially like recently, it seems like what's something you know now that like you feel like you didn't really know like 5-6 years ago that made kind of the difference in killing these big deer?
Probably the number one thing I've learned is probably patience. You know, I feel like you got to take your time, kind of figure them out. If it's not, you know, you don't always have to kill them opening morning. Just take your time, make sure you don't push it. Make sure, you know what I mean? There's a million things that go into harvesting a big deer. So just trying to learn mm-hmm. them. Take your time and just make sure the situation is as perfect as it can be. And then my other one is probably just making sure you're comfortable and you're confident in your equipment. When I first started out, you know, I didn't have the best bow or the best muzzle loader and stuff, and I feel like I had a lot of missed opportunities because I lacked in preparation with my equipment. So and I'm not saying you have to go out and buy, you know, Swarovski everything or the best of everything, but just make sure you're confident and you're comfortable with what you have, and it'll go a long ways for sure. Like my muzzleloader,
yeah.
I figured I'd be taking a 300-yard shot. It's a little tricky with that new red dot. You know, if I had a scope like we used to have last year, it would have been, you know, walk in the park, but I made sure to hit the range. I made sure to shoot that shot over and over again and made sure I was comfortable and confident, because when I was watching that deer in the brush and I videoed his horns and everything, man, the nerves got to me. I was like, I got to make sure this shot is perfect. This is, you know, the biggest deer I'll probably ever chase. So, but I knew I could make the shot because I sat at the range and I shot that yardage over and over again.
Yeah. No, I think that's 100% true, because, I mean, 300 yards with the open sight is pretty tough, but, like, if you practice it, know where to put it, know where to dial to or hold your gun, like, and you've done it a few times, it's a lot more doable. So I think you're 100% spot on that.
Right.
And then I was going to ask you, too, like, you kind of mentioned – your buck on the winter range last year, like, did he put on a lot of inches this year, or was he pretty similar?
So, and I've heard from a couple different sources of what his sheds last year went, so take it with a grain of salt. You know, I don't really know for sure, but from what I've heard, his sheds last year roughly scored right around 205.
Okay.
So he put on a decent amount from 205 to, you know, right around that 218 mark.
Mm-hmm. That's sweet.
Well, and he changed and that up a little bit on different inlines and stuff this year. So if you go back, you could look at the sheds from last year to him now. He changed, not quite a bit, but he changed up where his inlines were this year.
Okay. Dang, that's cool to have that history with him and just kind of even know what he was the year before. So
yeah, and it seemed like everyone knew about the deer, and you know, there was trucks lined up on the road watching him and stuff. So it seemed like he got pretty popular last year. So
do you think
pretty
just
cool
because
deer.
Of all your scouting and all your time spent, like you just kind of knew maybe his hidey hole where like not everyone else was going to see him, or like do you think other people just like kind of heard of him and that's why they were in there and didn't know exactly where he was? Or
yeah, and it's funny, I've had, you wouldn't believe how many DMs I've had about this deer that people told me that they were planning on chasing him or they were planning on killing him. And so I'd ask him if they knew where he summered, because everyone knew where he wintered, but then they'd be like, no, I didn't know where he summered, I was just planning on trying to find him. So it seemed like everyone knew about the deer from the wintering range, but very, very few people knew where he was on the summer range. And like
uh-huh.
I said, I was in there with one other guy. He lived in a kind of a nasty little hole, so you kind of had to know where he was to find him, right? So I think that he's a I mean, he got big for a reason. It was a pretty nasty hole. So I think that's
right.
Why he flew under the radar for so long.
That's so sweet of you. Yeah, that's cool. So just real quick, like the rest of your year, do you have any other hunts lined up, or was that kind of your hunt?
No, so I killed him, and then the next weekend I was chasing elk, and you know, we went in and got some elk, just the spike hunt, right? Had a great time there, and then you know, me and my buddy Tyler and his brother Tanner were headed to Idaho tomorrow night for 5 days to go chase more deer, and then and then we come back, and then next weekend's the Utah Rifle, and we got, you know, the family camp, so we got a little bit more hunting to do, and then obviously the duck hunt. We try to get out every weekend for that and have some fun. It never stops.
Yeah. Man, that sounds like a good time. Well, sweet,
yeah,
man.
Oh,
go ahead.
Oh, no, you're good.
Oh, I was just going to say, good stories. I think there really is a lot to learn from those stories. Obviously, you have it figured out pretty good. Whatever you're doing is working, so
I appreciate it, man.
On and sharing.
Hey guys, thanks again for listening. I think that was an awesome episode, Aaron. There's a lot to learn from him. I think when you kill more than one big buck, it's not just luck anymore. You're doing something right, especially like the time frame that he's killed those big bucks in. I mean, it's been the last 5 or so years. He's put down some really special deer, and he's helped put down some really special deer as well. So I do think there's a lot to learn from him. Anyways, it's full swing hunting season right now. So if you happen to kill a dirty giant of your own, be sure to send it our way. We'd love to hear your story. Thanks again for listening.